Couple weeks ago, we began this journey into 10 words that can change our world, change our lives. And again, we began with that understanding that within the early culture of God's people, that the Ten Commandments would have been memorized basically as 10 words. When we look at Exodus and we look at all the words of the Ten Commandments, and when we think about memorizing those commandments, sometimes it can be a daunting task. And yet if we can come up with a system where it's just 10 words, it's so much easier to remember and remember the focus of those. And again, we began last week by looking at three of those words, which were one and worship and name. One, worship and name. That again, there is one God, no other gods. That we worship that God, no idols, and we focus on that God. And that we again focus on that name and we respect that name. We discussed the idea that that respect really shapes our relationship with God. And one of the things we talked about was the discussion of, for some of you that years ago when we talked about police, and instead of law enforcement or the word constable, suddenly it was fuzz, you know, or it was coppers. Or I talked about the fact that in country music nowadays, there's a song in which they reference the police as po-po, all right? Well, little did I know that when I talked about also the fact that you need to really start calling me the Dominie, all right? Which for some of you say, what's Dominie? Well, that's a Dutch word, you know? A Dutch word basically, you know, again, makes me the important figure of the Dominie of the church, right? I have to tell you, I got a letter this week addressed to the Dominie. Making me feel pretty good, all right? But the other side of it's true as well, because I mentioned the popo, and someone in their infinite wisdom here, and I won't rat them out, I guess, said that maybe I should, instead of be referred to as the Dominie, should be referred to as the Dodo. Love you too. No, but again, this whole idea that these 10 words shape our relationship with God and how we live with God in the world today and in our spiritual walk. Today, we're going to talk about the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. Now again, when you think about the Sabbath, it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor manservant nor maidservant, animals nor alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. A Sabbath day. It's a concept that is in many ways foreign to us and in some ways dying by the wayside in our society. And yet I'd like you to think about it maybe in a different way, and that would be holy R&R. Holy R&R. 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 What's R&R? Do you remember, for those of you who have served in the military or grew up in homes where there has been the military, you talk about being able to go on R&R, rest and relaxation, a chance to retreat from that front line, a chance to rejuvenate, all those R words, okay? But it's holy R&R. But our world says it's a concept we really don't understand. It's a concept that many people don't embrace. And yet I'd like you to think about two couples this morning, Chris and Dolly Lapp. Chris and Dolly Lapp. And David and Barb Green. Any of the names ring a bell? Curious. Chris and Dolly Lapp and David and Barb Green. We'll go with one that you probably don't know first, and that's the Lapps. They're from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where there's a lot of tourism, where there's a lot of people moving through on a regular basis, and where Chris and Dolly Lapp own the Good and Plenty restaurant. And for over 50 years, they have been part of that community, and they have an amazing business where bus after tour bus line up so that people can eat at the Good and Plenty and eat that homemade Pennsylvania food in a home-style setting. The Good and Plenty. But don't go there on Sunday. Because on Sunday, for all of those years, Chris and Dolly have said that, you know what? We are going to honor God, and we don't need to be open. Even though people went to other restaurants and stayed away because they aren't open on Sunday, they honored God. Even though their regulars said, come on, if you did, you could make so much more money, they honored God and said, no, we won't be open. Even their employees, many of which have been there for 25, 30 years, have stayed because of the family commitment and the connection to community based on this is God's business, not our business. The Lapps and Good and Plenty restaurant. So who are David and Barb Green? Probably one of the up-and-coming companies in America, the Greens. They own Hobby Lobby. And many of you know that Hobby Lobby is, again, a huge franchise, a huge corporate network across our country, and yet their perspective is one of honoring God above honoring money. And so they do not open their doors on Sunday. Again, people have said it's bad business. Again, people have said it's the wrong thing to do economically. Their accountants have told them they lose over $100 million a year. $100 million a year because they said it's not about us, it's about God. It's not about us, it's about God. Holy R&R. These two examples are people who said, you know what, the world is crazy enough, our life is crazy enough, we need to put it into neutral and we need to focus on God. And they're willing to take a stand. But again, how about us? You see, the challenge for us is so often that we don't understand the principle. We don't understand the concept. Now, what am I getting at? Well, if you look back in history, and if you look at early images of when human beings said, we want to fly like the birds, you see images that are hilarious. You see images where people are pedaling bicycles and those bicycles are moving wings, and they drive off the end of some ramp and plummet into the ground. Or the simpler version where people just simply put on wings and then they run and they run and they flap until they jump off of a cliff, sometimes to their death. But it was because they didn't understand the principle. They didn't understand the concept. And it wasn't until the Wright brothers began to look at Bernoulli's principles of pressure differential, and they discovered the curved wing and how airflow reduces lift on, or creates lift and reduces drag on one side of that wing, that they began to take flight. They understood the principle. They understood the functioning property of flight. And we need to understand the principle of the Sabbath in order to let it take flight in our lives. Now, when we say Sabbath, okay, Sabbath, we often talk about Sunday. Sunday, the Sabbath day. In the examples I gave, again, we get caught up in Sunday as the Sabbath day. But Sunday is the first day of the week, folks. And you've heard people, you know, talk about this and, you know, it's discussed and who's right and who's wrong. But the truth is that, again, Sunday is the first day of the week, not the last. And yet, within this commandment, it talks about that last day of the week and resting. So what do we do with this? Well, we have to understand the principle. And the principle is that we're not talking about the Lord's day. We're not talking about the Lord's day. You see, we worship on Sunday based on the idea that the resurrection of Christ took place on Sunday. Again, crucified, dead, and buried, third day, rose again from the dead. The whole idea that it is that day that is the Lord's day. But the principle of Sabbath is bigger than the Lord's day. The Lord's day is and should always be a day of worship, a day of celebrating the resurrection. All right? It should be that day in which we honor God. Now, your Lord's Day might also be your Sabbath day, all right? They might overlap. That's the way we have become as a culture, that we take our Lord's Day and we worship and we say, this is our Sabbath day, and therefore, that's where all the blue laws came in. That's where businesses being closed years ago were all about. That's where all the unrest about those blue laws and everything going on. We overlap Sabbath and Lord's Day. But understand they are different. The Lord's Day, the day of worship, is that first day of the week, is that resurrection day. Sabbath and the principle of Sabbath goes into the world in a different way for Hebrews. Early on, it was this idea of ceasing and desisting and resting. It was a time where you said to yourself, I need to let my spirit rest. God took time and rested in order to reflect on creation. We need to do the same thing. In many ways, this idea of rest is an anchor to creation within our lives. That we take this Sabbath day, that we take this time of reflection and connection to God, and we ask where we are going, where we have headed, where we have been, in order to order our lives. Or as one commentator put it, which I really like, you have to understand that within the Hebrew world, it was dirty. It was dusty. It was busy. It was overwhelming. And for them, and the idea that God said, whoa, was freeing because it gave them a day in which they could reorder. They could rejuvenate. They could recharge. They could R&R. And reconnect to God. And so again, this Sabbath is that day on which we focus on God. If you look in the New Testament, especially like Romans 14, 5, and 6, you find out that really it's not about a day, like saying it's got to be Sunday or it's got to be Saturday. But it is that concept, it is that leading, guiding principle that we will take a day because, again, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, okay? And take that day and say, this is about God. This is about our relationship with God. This is about God and me and where we are headed together. And so when we look at this concept of Sabbath in the 21st century, when we think about how this can change our lives, it isn't about the blue laws, and it's not about whether or not we swim on Sunday or ride our bikes like we have been taught, many of us, in the past. But it's about the principle that we would take a day and say, this is God's day. This is God's day, where I put aside my agenda, and I put aside our agenda, and I put aside the world's agenda, and I simply say, you are God. Not about me, my ways, my power, my might. It's about you. That is the principle of Sabbath. And again, it's in that principle that we begin to soar as human beings if we understand and grasp that principle. Why is it important? Why is it that this principle, this Sabbath, can make us soar, can change our lives? Well, first of all, it leads to a cycle and a rhythm within our lives. A cycle and a rhythm within our lives. That on a regular basis, every 7 days, we are going to take this break from the world, take this break from our jobs, take this break from our, again, burdens and challenges, and simply enjoy who God is in our lives. It isn't some kind of willy-nilly, unplanned thing. It isn't something where we cry out when we need God, but we forget God the rest of the time. It's a chance for us to, on a regular basis, on a cycle of life, disengage from this world and engage with our deeply spiritual side. It's an art that we have lost in the world today. Not only is the idea of Sabbath been confused with Lord's Day and a lot of blue laws and a lot of legalism, but we have forgotten how to connect spiritually with God. We make it busy with church. We make it busy with early morning devotions. We make it busy with anything that says God, but do we really take time to rest, to relax, to re-engage with God in a meaningful way? The idea of Sabbath says every week you will pull away from the world and you will step closer to your Creator, to your Savior, to your friend. It's a cycle. We do it when we eat. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Big meal on Sunday. Whatever that cycle might be, we do it. We do it with exercise. I work out on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I do upper body this day, lower body this day. We do it with vacations. We always go away on this weekend. There are so many cycles in our life, and yet this crucial cycle of saying, whoa, it's not about me, we forget about. We forget about. And so it's pivotal for us to understand Sabbath and to understand that we need to begin this cycle in our lives in order to bring a rhythm, in order to bring worship, in order to bring praise, in order to bring relationship with God. But there's another piece, and a piece that I really had never thought of until I was looking and writing this week, and that is that real Sabbath is the foundation of service. Real Sabbath is the foundation of service. And what I mean by that, and what we mean by that, is that when we're able to get that cycle in our lives, to pull back and to honor God, suddenly we have time for our community. Suddenly we have time for what Jesus said, that we can lay down our lives for others. Suddenly we have time to, again, not be a master, but to be a servant and to touch lives of people. Part of the Sabbath is saying that, you know what, I can forget about punching the clock. I can forget about what I need to get done. I can forget about those honey-do lists that are out there, whatever it might be, and connect with God and connect with my fellow humanity by sharing our lives that God has given. And when I thought about this, it really struck me that in our world today, the idea of service is kind of waning. In our world today, we, again, have placed in our children's lives, whether it, again, be public or private school, the idea of community service. We make it mandatory and part of the curriculum. What in the world? It never had to be before. People serve their community. People were involved in PTA. People were involved in coaching Little League. People were involved. Part of it is we've forgotten about Sabbath. And when we forget about connecting with God, and when we forget about looking at who God needs us to be, and when we forget about God has placed us here to be a blessing, we forget about serving. And so again, this concept of Sabbath can change our lives and bring a cycle to it, but it can change the world because it is the foundation of service and of caring for our community. And it's also a foundation of our family. You've heard me say over the course of the last 10 years here that part of Sunday should be connecting with people in our lives. People who are family, not only biology, but also people who have affected our lives in a meaningful way, but taking time to visit. Taking time to talk about God's presence in our lives. Taking time to take a walk in the woods with your children, with your spouse. Taking time to build up a family. The concept of Sabbath is not simply about, again, focusing in God in a spiritual kind of monistic way. But it's about taking what God has given us and being thankful. And for that reason, part of Sabbath is doing it with family, with friends, with community. And that it isn't just an individualistic pursuit, but it's one that is corporate. And so again, Sabbath and that cycle can change our families. It changes us as people. It changes our communities. It changes our families. And it even changes our health and well-being. Many, many people in America can't stand what they do for a living. 70% of Americans would say that they don't like their jobs. 70% of Americans would say they really need that day away or days away from work. And yet, when we talk about Sabbath, people don't get it. You see, physically we need the Sabbath, in which we can take a day and decompress. Decompress from that week that went horribly at work. Decompress from that bid that you didn't get or that job that you didn't get. Decompress from the challenges of profitability or bottom line. Sabbath is a day in which you can pull back and say, I need to take a deep breath. And that deep breath can help us physically. A chance to connect with God, a chance to pray to God, a chance to let go of the stress. And when we let go of the stress, we are physically healthier. When we're able to have that cycle of life, when we're able to share our lives with family and friends, when we think more about community rather than individuality, we are healthier people. We sleep better, we eat better, we laugh more, we cry more. We are more alive with a Sabbath in our lives. And so when we read this commandment, we can read it as, you better be in church on Sunday. Wrong. You better be in church on Sunday because that's the Lord's Day and a day in which we celebrate the resurrection. Don't get me wrong, all right? But what we're talking about here is the Sabbath. And if that means it's Sunday as well, fine. But then that means that we take this day, and it begins here at church. And we focus this day on connecting with God, and we focus this day on how we serve fellow humanity, and we focus this day on connecting with family. And we take this day because you know what? It makes me healthier, happier. It lets me enjoy life more. It lets the fruit of the Spirit bubble up within me. That Sabbath transforms us from the robots of this world and lets us soar as the children and creation of God. You see, we have to understand the principle. And the principle of Sabbath is that we make a conscious effort to disconnect from the world and all the world pushes upon us and connect with God and who God is calling us to be. Holy R&R that can change our world. Amen.